Welcome back to Left of Normal, where everything that isn't right is left, and everything that is left is right. I'm your host, Scott Seary. If you haven't done so already, please hit the like button, hit the share button, leave a five-star review if that's possible. That helps the algorithms distribute this podcast further and wider so more people get to tune in. While you're at it, go ahead and subscribe, and then you'll get a notification every time a new episode is released. So today we have a guest on the cast. I welcome guests just about any time. So if you have a great story, a brilliant insight, or just think that people enjoy listening to the sound of your voice, please send me a message, leave a comment, or my preferred method is to write it on a note card and then attach that card to the dashboard of a 2024 Maserati Quattroporte and have it delivered right to my driveway. My guest today is Dr. Cravens. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cravens.
Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I like to start things out with a handful of questions kind of about our interactions. However, we've only had a few interactions through email and a couple social media messages. So don't really have that many experiences to draw on. We're going to change it up. So tell us what were your thoughts about my view of the autism spectrum based on a handful of episodes you've listened to? Reminder, folks, I have encouraged my guests not to worry about hurting my feelings with their responses because I don't actually have any.
I've listened to quite a few of your podcasts, and I feel like we're pretty much on the same page with the spectrum. I feel like I love how you talk about the variety of topics, and you have a lot of interesting guests on the talk as well. So it's great to explore. There's a huge world out there of topics that you can talk about on the spectrum. So I think it's great that you don't just focus on one topic. You're talking about many different topics.
Yeah, I try to just kind of relay mostly life stories. And that way somebody can hopefully spark an interest, be like, oh, I've seen that in my own life or my kids' lives or, you know, friends. Now I understand them a little bit better.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's very helpful, I feel like, because everybody's looking to connect with someone that's similar to them. And so it's great.
All right. So how aware are you, or how much experience do you have with people on the spectrum? And kind of what are the biggest things you've learned along the way that make you think, oh, okay, now that makes sense?
So I have been working with individuals with autism for, I would say, about the last 14 years or so. I did not know much about autism until grad school. And recently I was diagnosed with autism, but it didn't all click until recently. I've enjoyed working with all the kiddos. I'm getting my thoughts confused. So when I first started working with kids on the spectrum, it was in grad school. I did a lot of studies with them in grad school, working in the elementary schools. And then I ended up doing my dissertation about how teachers perceive autism and just their knowledge, because back then, even if it was 12 years ago, like, teachers didn't really understand autism a lot compared to what you look at now. And then through that, I did an internship in Boston where I worked with kids, severe behaviors, nonverbal, very aggressive. And then coming back to Kansas is where I live right now, and I have a thriving practice. I've also worked with kids in the school, training teachers on understanding autism. But in my own life, I do autism assessments, and working with girls, especially doing assessments with girls, I kind of noticed, hey, like, these are the same things that I was feeling growing up. I didn't have those connections with friends. I didn't have like real friends. I feel like they were just acquaintances. Every time I tried to like connect with people, it seemed different. It seemed like I didn't know what was wrong with me. And now it kind of just makes sense. Hey, like, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not weird. There's nothing wrong. It's just, I just don't connect with people. And I'm okay with that now.
Yeah, that's great. It's something, you know, not being a girl on the spectrum, I don't understand that aspect of being overlooked like that. But we had Amy on a couple weeks ago, and she talks about, you know, she's been overlooked, her kid was overlooked, her daughter was overlooked because she made too much eye contact. And, oh, you can't be autistic because you made eye contact. I'm like, well,
Yes.
no, a lot of us, you know, we force ourselves, we've trained ourselves to make eye contact because we know it comes across as really weird if we just make none. And so while I prefer not to make any eye contact, I do it because that's what is expected.
Right. Yeah, I have so many parents that come in and say, my kid was assessed when I was like 2 or 3, and they had good eye contact, they had conversation, and they were like, nope, there's no way that you have autism. And it's so nice to be able to help them.
Yeah, it's great. And then you also have the experience of working with a lot of, you know, the whole range, high functioning all the way down to those ones in Boston where nonverbal and violent and just completely disconnected from. And that's, I think, what most people still think of autism is they only see that really far extreme, but they don't realize there's a lot of us walking amongst them that can pretend to act normal most of the time.
Right. I have been seeing that a lot lately in my office. I have parents, their pediatricians have referred their kid for testing for autism, and they come in the office and they're like, well, my kid doesn't do this and my kid doesn't do that. And I know other people that have autism and my kid isn't like that. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Your kid isn't like that, but there's other things and not everyone looks the same. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep going here. How has the understanding of left of normal, or, you know, the autism spectrum in general, I prefer my terms for it, I think they're quirky-er, changed the way you act and interact with people in general? So especially once you were diagnosed as an adult, kind of what changed with how you interact with people, even those that are on the spectrum or off?
I feel like just knowing, or even just working with kids on the spectrum, I feel like it's increased my compassion and empathy for other people because of the fact that, like, you never know what someone's going through, no matter if they have a disorder or not. There's so many things going on in people's lives, and if they're having a bad day, you should look past that and try to continue to be nice to them and make them smile, because if you don't, you're losing out on helping someone, you're losing out on brightening someone else's day. I feel like you just can't judge others. You have to stay grounded.
Yeah, it's something that everyone needs to do a little bit better at. Just, you know, you never know what somebody else is going through. Or maybe they're not going through anything and they just had an off moment. So I'm going to skip this next one. We talked about how has your experience with autism opened your eyes to anything in your own life and personality. We kind of got into that already. So we'll move on to just tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you up to? You said you earned a PhD specializing in helping people with autism. What drove you that direction, and how'd you end up at this point in your life?
Okay. So when I was in grad school, I knew I wanted to be a psychologist, and I knew I wanted to help people with a disability. But again, and I was exposed to kids on the spec, like autistic kids. And so that's kind of what pushed me towards the autism. What do you call it? Autism. My job, basically.
Autism focus.
Yes, that's the word. So when I decided that's what I wanted to do, I did that internship in Boston, and then I worked in the schools in Kansas, or for the state, traveling and training teachers. And then I also worked for a facility here in Kansas that worked with severe autism as well. And then I was like, I want to branch out on my own and make a difference. So then I started my private practice. So in my private practice, I do assessments. I do a little bit of therapy, but my main focus is autism assessments. And then this last year, I started doing parent coaching. I felt like with my knowledge of working with all the kiddos that are autistic and then just my experiences growing up, I felt like I could better help parents connect with their child as far as like things that they aren't seeing. So there's a lot of parents that come into my office and not that they think their kid is bad, but they think, why are they doing this? They're doing this on purpose. And I want to help parents learn like, hey, they're not doing it on purpose. They're thinking a different way than you. And so how can we meet them? How can you meet your child and help them versus constantly this battle of back and forth and arguing and living in a stress-free or stressful environment? How can I help them understand their child a little bit better? So that's why I started the coaching business this last year. And I have some training modules that parents can go through, or I also do the coaching piece with the training modules, just helping parents understand autism, what it is, what it looks like, what it could be, what it's not. Strategies to help with different things such as transitions, behavior, sensory, because sensory is a huge piece of what I see parents not understanding, because you can't always see the sensory things that are affecting your child versus like behaviors. You see that happening, like you mm-hmm. see what that, but you just don't see the sensory stuff. So helping parents understand that better.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, that kind of brings up a couple other questions. These training programs, coaching things, are they all one-on-one in person? Do you do group stuff? Or is this an online something that people can go online and register for a course or something like that?
So the courses, anybody can take those. Those are online. The actual coaching piece, I do a lot of online. So I either do individual families or group coaching. I feel like a lot of parents prefer that individual because they don't always feel like putting all their information out there. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like group coaching is helpful. And I've had a couple successful groups where parents are like, oh, that's a great idea. And they help each other because they feed off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's great. And then we'll get to a little bit more on this. You talked about your private practice. Kind of, how long have you been doing that? And then from what I understand, you have neurodivergent therapists that are helping neurodivergent clients. Kind of tell me, was that intentional or did it just kind of happen that you found those were the best ways to connect with the people coming through the doors?
So I've been in private practice for about 5 years. And the reason why I targeted neurodivergent for therapy is I've just had so much experience and I'm doing assessments. So I feel like it just makes sense to help those people connect with their parents, connect, like just build those connections and understand the therapy process. I feel like we have a better understanding because we work with autistic people every day.
And so your therapists, were they kind of handpicked because of their neurodivergencies or just because of their focus on what they help people with?
They were picked just based on like their views and their beliefs. I do not have any therapists that are autistic besides me. Like their views and stuff match what I feel like would be helpful for autistic people and not, controversial. I know there are some therapies out there that people are against. And so I wanted to be specific on that. And it is kind of funny. So I was actually trained. I do have my BCBA. So I am very familiar with ABA and I know that that can be a controversial topic and I'm not for or against. Again, everybody has their own point of view and everybody has good and bad experiences. I feel like you can go to a bad therapist. So,
yeah. Yeah. And then there's also just that, the blanket, you know, ABA doesn't work for everyone. It might work great for one kid who displays these, and then somebody that looks next exactly like that kid just will not take to it at all. And so it's kind of one of those things. It's good to have, good to understand it, but it doesn't necessarily, well, it didn't work, so your kid's broken type thing. It's just, you know, it didn't work. There's a lot of stuff with my own son. He's autistic and ADHD that should work according to everything I've read. It should work this way, and it just falls completely flat. I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're not going to try that anymore because it just caused more chaos than it solved. And you sent me a link just this morning. Your book came out. Tell me about your book. What's it focus on, and kind of what should people get out of it?
Yes. My book just came out yesterday. So it is a workbook. It's on positive parenting strategies. And so this is good for parents with autistic children, but it's also good for any parent, basically. So this book looks at your parenting styles and how you think about your child. So it starts with going over, hey, what are your child's strengths? What are your child's weaknesses? What skills do they have? And what skills do they don't have? Because I want parents to look at, is my child doing this because they can't control themselves? Do they not understand what they should be doing and they need to be taught? Or is it really they're doing it on purpose, which in most cases, it's probably not. Some cases, yes. But it also looks at, like, how are you handling situations? What is your knowledge on the topic? How stressed are you? And are you getting the help you need? Are you overstressed and you need a therapist to talk to? Or what strategies are your parents doing to help with self-care and taking care of themselves? Because if a parent is stressed, they're going to sometimes take it out on their child. So it's better to have that outlet, to have a break from your child and take care of yourself. So it kind of goes through all of those things.
All right. What's the title? So if people go on Amazon and type in the title, what do they search for?
Positive parenting strategies. And I feel like I've put that in Amazon and I'm way down on the list right now because it just came out. But if you search my name, Janine K. Cravens, it comes up right away.
All right. So, and then once this does get published, I'll put a link in the description of the podcast and then any social media stuff. I'll have that kind of down below where people can listen in and then go back to Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever they clicked from and select the link, and they can get taken right to your Amazon book page. So it'll be very easy to find. And so anybody that's interested doesn't have any excuses not to support you with it. All right. Couple more questions here. What is your mission in life? In other words, what would you like to be known for while you're still alive and then even after you're gone?
So my goal in life is to help autistic children like get diagnosed and then also helping their parents understand their child. So if I could be known for anything, it would be for someone that people look to get help with their child, to learn more about their child, and then get children diagnosed that were missed before. Like, I think so many kids were misdiagnosed when they were younger because we didn't know as much about autism. So if I can help as many kids as I can get the diagnosis and better understand themselves.
All right. One follow-up to that. What's the diagnosis process look like? Everything that I see online, people complain about how difficult it is or how expensive it is, or it just takes forever, especially people that are overseas. It's free, quote unquote free, but it takes years to get an official diagnosis. So what's your process look like?
Yeah, it is unfortunate. I do have quite a long wait list for people that I see. I'm typically booking out anywhere from 8 to 10 months. I do take some insurances, but I feel like once you get into me, like once you have your intake appointment, I typically do testing in 3 to 4 appointments. So I do the intake, get all the background information. Then I decide what assessments I want to give. And then people come in for 1 to 3 appointments for testing, depending upon the kid, the situation. And then I have feedback typically 2 weeks after that. So once you actually get into your appointment, it is about like a 4-week process, but you're getting your report like the day that I do feedback. So I try to make it easy.
Mm-hmm. So the wait list is there, but then once you're in, it's a turnaround of about a month.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not terrible. It's just we need more people like you so that we can get those wait lists down a bit more.
Right.
All right. Is there anything else we should know about life, the universe, everything?
Just be kind to everyone and try to learn more about your child and understand them better, and you're going to live a happy life.
All right. Well, you've had a peek into the world where everything left is right. And if it feels right, then it must be left. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to please like, comment, subscribe, join the Facebook community. You can ask questions over there. Hit the anonymous poster button if you don't want your name displayed to everyone. And remember that we're all going through something. So no matter what you come across, no matter how somebody acts towards you, return it with kindness and the world will become a better place. And of course, share this podcast with your friends, whether they're left, normies, or right. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Cravens. I look forward to sharing this with everybody, and hopefully a lot of people start following you as well.
Thanks.